Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. Today we are revisiting a conversation I had with Josh Teekle, founder and CEO of SmartAC.com. A lot has happened with SmartAC.com since Josh joined the show over 18 months ago for episode 184. The most recent milestone the company has reached is an additional funding round closed last month with support from Houston-based Mercury. SmartAC.com's expanded platform enables contractors in the HVAC and plumbing industries to monitor, manage, and optimize their maintenance memberships through advanced sensors, AI-driven diagnostics, and proactive alerts. Josh will be using the fresh funding to continue growth for the company. Continue listening to hear more about SmartAC.com's origin story and how Josh set out to solve the HVAC industry's biggest problems. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Natalie. Glad to join.
Well, I know we have some news to talk about with SmartAC, but I kind of want to go back to the beginning and learn a little bit about you and your career in as an entrepreneur. You know, what drew you to this type of career path?
Yeah, so it's kind of a interesting way to get into technology. My background is engineering. I worked in oil and gas for a couple of years, and then I started my first company selling backyard makeovers to homeowners here in Houston. And then expanded that business across Texas. So while I've never really worked in the trades, in the HVAC kind of side of things where I, in the industry I'm working in now, I did have a lot of experience whispering to homeowners, I like to say. And so had an opportunity to kind of foray into technology, utilizing my experience with selling to homeowners in, you know, maybe a little bit more of a scalable way, and kind of jumped at that opportunity.
What was that light bulb moment for starting SmartAC when you realized this opportunity for a business?
Yeah, so the original opportunity wasn't SmartAC.com. It was actually another product in the air conditioning space, and learned of the concept and basically invested heavily into building a product out to save energy on air conditioning. It was actually called Mistbox, and it misted around the air conditioning system to make it run more efficiently. It was a very interesting product, very valuable product, but the education that we had to do for our customers and our consumers was so high that the cost acquired just wasn't really workable at scale. But during that process, we had built some sensors into that product. And when we were trying to sell Mistbox through channel partners in the energy space and HVAC space, both of those channels fell in love with the data capabilities. And so what we did is we kind of really sold out that product, did a hard pivot, kept the team together, and built out SmartAC.com in stealth mode for about 2.5 years, and then brought it to market early last year.
I want to talk about that emerging from stealth in a second, but before we get into that, let's talk about the technology you developed, because it is kind of this hardware, software combo of a platform selling in, I think, most cases direct to consumer. So tell me a little bit about how the technology works and the impact it makes both on the user and the industry as a whole.
Yeah, sure. So we built the product and the platform so that it could be sold to consumers, but it became quite evident that homeowners don't care about air conditioning really at all until the day their system breaks. And so actually what we've been focused on is selling through the HVAC and plumbing companies that are then trying to establish it and maintain relationships with homeowners. So the technology is really built around giving those contractors another way to gain a customer relationship and then keep it. So the entire industry is really driven by ongoing relationships with homeowners by selling maintenance plans. In HVAC and in plumbing. And so we looked at the industry and it became very evident that nobody had built a product out, a technology platform to make that more scalable. And so instead of going to the homeowner's house a couple times a year and having the homeowner have to agree to pay $200 or $300 a year for those plans, now they have a much more sexy offering with the with all of the technology, the software, the hardware, the sensors, and it gives them a way to be more proactive for their customer bases. And also gives them a way, if the homeowner says no to prepaying for some visits to the house, they can still grab that relationship with data and with technology. And so we also do have some ability to sell the product direct to consumer through retail energy or through insurance, but we're really laser focused on the channel that's pulling us in a big way, which is HVAC and plumbing contractors.
That is interesting, the kind of evolution from that, like to this B2B model. I guess what sort of feedback do you get from customers, both in this in the industry and selling it to their customers as this kind of value add, but also the people who are using it in their homes? What do you hear back from them?
Yeah, so we actually interviewed thousands of homeowners to make sure we could understand that homeowners would like this product before we even tried to sell it through, channel partners. And homeowners were very clear that they wanted to not have to solely trust what the contractor's telling them when something's wrong, akin to, getting your car fixed at a car shop or whatever. You don't want to just have to trust what they say. You'd like to actually be able to verify that, yes, something is needed and it was fixed correctly. So that's one. We do water leak detection, which is a really big one, especially in Texas here with like water falling down through the roof in a lot of cases. And then also filters. We take care of the optimization and the convenience around replacing air filters. And so homeowners really gravitate to those things. And then, of course, just generally being more proactive and fixing things before they lose comfort, which is a unique value proposition. And then the contractors really just value, some of them really want to give their customers a much better experience. But many of them are just, what's in it for me, which is fine. I was a contractor, I am a contractor too, but just seeing this platform as a new way to accomplish the objective of really checking the check mark in the homeowner's mind that I have a company for HVAC and plumbing, and this is my company. And so our app is co-branded with the partner. So like Abacus Plumbing here in town would be an example of a Houston company we work with where now the homeowner can see that app and see Abacus Plumbing, and anything and everything they ever need is right in front of their fingertips. And Abacus kind of wins that long-term relationship through the platform.
Yeah, do you feel like I it just makes me think of, maybe like a decade ago, people didn't have so much data like in an app or about anything in their lives, and now more and more increasingly we have like these apps that tell us, all things about our home, about, the weather, like it's so much information at our fingertips. So do you feel like this economy and this the technology and how it's evolved and kind of across the board has like made for this prime opportunity for these features for homeowners?
Yeah, I think so. I think, honestly, I think we're almost moving the other direction. I think homeowners don't want another app in a lot of situations. We have, but the cool thing is once the product goes in the house, they don't even have to use the app. Like the contractor can watch for problems and reach out proactively via text or phone call. And so really, our operating principle is homeowners don't care. And that puts us in our place every single day when we try to expect them to care as much about our platform as we do. And really, even our service providers are largely subsidizing into the home. So we don't have to sell the product to homeowners, I guess is what I'm saying. So there may be an opportunity once we build a brand, like Nest did, where eventually you start to think of smartac.com when you think of taking care of your air conditioning equipment. We like to say we're the dashboard for your AC, whereas a thermostat is the ignition. And so both are important. But yeah, I mean, I think in general we try not to take ourselves too seriously and just add enough value to where the homeowner's happy they have it in their house and the contractor sees it as integral to their business.
Okay, so yeah, let's go back to the founding of smartac.com. You emerged from stealth in June of 2020, which obviously a challenging year, but even so, you came out right out of the gate with a $10 million Series A. So what was that process like of kind of working on the company behind the scenes and then being able to reveal it all amid this changing, challenging pandemic scene?
Yeah, it was tough. We actually had a huge launch plan for South By that we had to scrap the entire thing when South By got canceled. So that was really frustrating. But in general, I think there were some advantages. The whole HVAC plumbing industry just blew up during the pandemic because I think all the investment capital going into it, understanding that it was kind of a bulletproof industry because the pandemic didn't touch it. So I think that was good. In general, it gave us, another 6 months or so. We actually, while we officially launched in June, we really didn't do anything other than that press release here in Houston until January of the following year in 2021. So it allowed us to be a little bit more prepared. And then, yeah, landing the Series A had actually happened a little prior to that. But getting some more visibility was enabled us to bring some more investors locally to the table as well. So we've really been, I would say 75% of all the capital we've taken into the company is from Houston, which is, pretty rare for a IoT type company to accomplish.
Yeah, want to talk about funding more too, but I guess it's not every company goes the stealth operation mode. You see it kind of sometimes. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't see it at all because they're in stealth. What was the thought process of going working behind the scenes versus?
Yeah, I hear you on that. So we weren't in stealth with Mistbox, the prior product, right? But then when we decided that this is the real opportunity, honestly, we have IP we filed around a lot of things we're doing, but we weren't really sure what we could file it on, just because, we're making temperature and humidity sensors and they're really unique and no one had made them before, and the deployment and what we do with the data is really cool. But in general, we just wanted to have as big a head start on the industry as possible. So since hardware takes a long time, and we were working on the hardware and the software, of course, in parallel, we just wanted to make sure that two and a half years that it took us to build out the platform, we did it without people knowing it was coming. So that was the goal. And then when we hit the ground running, our goal is to sprint to 1 million homes as fast as possible, knowing that, when you've spent as much time and money as we have to get the hardware right and then the software right too, that you've got a head start. So we just wanted to maximize that head start, and that's why we kind of didn't speak about what we were doing for two and a half years while we were building it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like a consideration startups have, when they're working on their technology and kind of the pros and cons of that. So thanks for sharing your experience with that. Yeah, so let's talk about funding. So your Series B, tell me a little bit about how you're going to be deploying this capital, what it means to meet this next benchmark.
The Series B, right around 22 million. Some of that's notes converting in that we've, money we've been deploying, just to get to where we're at over the last year, year and a half. But really, this is all just to turbocharge sales. So I feel like we really didn't lean in with the biggest partnerships and some of those things until the whole team felt like we were ready for the big time, if you will, right? We didn't want to stub our toe out of the gate in the air conditioning industry because, an industry that's driven by techs, the second they write you off, like getting a second, if you have a bad first impression, it can be very bad. And so we wanted to make sure everything was right. So really, the last number of years has been getting the product perfected. And that's really a huge platform. Like, it's all the hardware, accessories we added to the optional accessories. And anytime you even want an accessory, it's like a year because it's hardware related. And then a software platform that has an app for the homeowner, a pro app for the techs in the field, and then a dashboard for the office, right? And so it's like three kind of almost distinct platforms all rolled into one. And so it just took us a long time to get that to where it was ready for the, $100 million HVAC and plumbing shops that we work with now. And so this funding really buys us a couple of years of runway through the end of next year and allows us to focus on getting to kind of cash flow breakeven, which is right in our, right in our wheelhouse of our abilities of the things we can take care of here in the next 12 months. So excited to have that ability to be able to focus on sales and not focus on fundraising or even product as much. Obviously, we're building out a lot of new software, but in general, we've accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish on the hardware side, and now it's just about deployment.
Yeah, so what goes into that? Is it, growing your team, like spreading your footprint?
I honestly, for us, it's as much about just covering burn for a period of time, and then trying to grow those sales. We're going to grow the team some, but we had really leaned in quite a bit on having the right people and the right team. So we're going to build out, more sales support staff, more customer success staff or partner success, as we call it. Basically, the people that will go into these HVAC and plumbing shops and train their 20, 30, 40, 100 techs, right? So it's really just about their success is our success. And so teaching them all the methods that we've learned that work best with communicating in the home, and also, training on installation of that 10-minute install and things like that. So, really it's a lot, it's more of the same, and just being able to focus on growing the company instead of, anybody that's tried to raise money knows that it always takes like four times as long as you think. And it's just like all consuming. And so having a couple of years to be able to focus on growth, with Andy and I, especially, is going to be really a huge plus.
Yeah. What was the fundraising experience like? Because I know you mentioned having the majority of your funding come from Houston. That's kind of rare, even for Houston companies.
Yeah. So, I feel like we have been very fortunate to get some of the very biggest names in Houston on our cap table. The Mustang Cat family, Gary Peterson, co-founder of managing partner of NCAP, is one of our earliest investors. We were able to get Cardone Ventures into this round too, which is Grant Cardone's fund, who actually is working in a big way with HVAC companies around the country. And then a bunch of other, sizable checks. I mean, we've got, another 5, 6, 7 people or entities that are in for seven figures. And so I think that to do that is a lot of pitching. In general, when you are building something, a platform out based on a need you know there is, and when you're going to have to build the hardware and software first before you can even launch it, like there's this long period of time before you have revenue where you really have to be selling the dream. And then I was able to invest heavily as well just to make sure we were, could get to where we needed before we could take other capital. And so it was a slog, honestly. But we're really excited to kind of just come through that period of building the platform out and having enough traction in that first 12 months to be able to land this round. And now we get to concentrate on the more fun part, which is actually doing the thing.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about Mistbox and this opportunity, or the challenge that was explaining it to potential users. And now going this more B2B route, I assume you have less of that challenge. But I wonder how you look at both communicating to investors the value of smartac.com plus your customers. What's that process like?
Yeah, so with investors, it hasn't been too hard because since we're raising a bunch of money for locally, everyone understands how much of a pain air conditioning can be, right? And so they've all had their system break down out of nowhere. They've all gotten a repair bill for $3,500 and wondered, is this really right? Right? They've all been staring a $20,000 system, replacement bill in the face. And so our overall vision and our mission as a company is to perfect the experience of home comfort. That's really what we do. We do that direct to consumer sometimes, but many times we do it through our HVAC and plumbing partners. And so I think in general, when we were trying to raise funds in the Bay Area or New York, like they don't even have the same air conditioning problems, right? I really believe if this was a problem that Silicon Valley would have, that were the investors, the VCs had, this would have been solved before now. But honestly, in Houston, like it's just, and in Texas in general, it's such a huge, the understanding of how expensive and how much of a headache air conditioning is just very high. And so it's like that more than just Texas, but specifically not like that in the Bay Area and in New York. And so a lot of the capital doesn't understand. So I think it actually was a benefit of us for that to be understood so well by, and almost every one of our investors like has a story, right? And if you're a 55-year-old man, you've replaced a couple of AC systems and you've been around the block a little bit. So I think it actually helped us quite a bit. And that we were selling an offering that was valuable in this market specifically.
Yeah, I think that's funny because I've never thought about it that way, but I'm also a native Houstonian and lived here my whole life. So I didn't know that there were people out there that didn't have to deal with that. But yeah, so that makes it almost like a unique Houston problem. When you think about that, like as a growth opportunity, because I think this thing, global warming happening, more and more parts of the world are going to have to deal with this. Do you see that almost like future-proofing your company?
It is growing in a big way. Yep. The places that didn't have to use air conditioning, like upstate New York near as much 10 years ago are using it a lot now. And the hottest temperatures are really going up, even if it's only a couple of months a year. And so, yeah, we'll be pushing a ball downhill in that regard. What's cool though is like 87% of all homes in the country use central air. So even if they're not, you know, it's not as hot as here in many places, of course, it's still the great majority of the country that can utilize the product. And by the way, it's for heating too. So, you know, we didn't talk about where the sensors go, but you just stick one magnetically right on the vent. So whether it's a heating cycle or a cooling cycle, you're getting the performance of that system year round, right? And so we have a ton of really, really large clients that are up north that, you know, are able to sell it, you know, whether it's the hottest 3 or 4 months or the coldest 3 or 4 months. So.
I know a big selling point for your company and the technology is to be able to lower these energy costs, these big bills of replacements and everything. But there's also this, as we're talking about the increasing need for AC in this world, there's also this kind of like environmental element to it. So how much of that is a part of your business plan, your selling point, et cetera?
Yeah, so there's a couple of key things that the platform does that allow for just a really huge cut in overall energy consumption. So, and it comes in different ways. The first one is really we notice, or one of the biggest problems with climate change is hydrofluorocarbons, which is the refrigerant inside the systems. And so many times you have those whole pinhole leaks happen in these HVAC systems, and then it just all drains out over like a year slowly, right? And so we see those problems. Like a 20% discharge instead of 40%, I'm sorry, instead of like 70% discharged. And so we catch those things a lot earlier. So it's kind of like, even though it seems small, it's just a massive driver in that space. And to people, and it's something that people really care about when they're trying to fight those fights. Also, so many of our clients are actually going to the house less because they have the visibility. So you tell Miss Jones, hey, we used to come twice a year, but now we can only come once a year and we monitor the other 364 days a year. And it will come if something's needed, but if you're running at 95% efficiency, we're not going to come out and poke around, right? And so that actually lowers truck rolls in a huge way, which is another big one. And then lastly, really probably the overall biggest one is just when you have eyes on how your system is performing, it's way easier to make sure it is performing better. You're more proactive and, you know, you can start to run math on, hey, you know, if you put a new high efficiency system in, you'd be saving this much money a month and, you know, it'd pay for itself in a short amount of time. So just in general, keeping these assets both lasting longer and running more efficiently, is a huge thing as well. Because many times, the system is trending down from an efficiency standpoint for weeks and months, and the homeowner doesn't realize anything's wrong until they lose comfort. So that system can be running 5 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours a day. And until they lose comfort, they don't even realize that anything's wrong. And so we're able to kind of take all that area under the curve of extra energy costs, and, you know, lop that off.
Yeah, I know. When you're talking about everyone has a story, I feel like everyone's been doing that thing where they're like holding their hand up to the vent. And you're like, is this cool? Is it just hot air blowing? Like, what's going on? Yeah, so that's very relatable. I guess when you think of the larger energy transition conversation that obviously has been happening for a while, but I just maybe anecdotally have felt like the conversation of the HVAC systems and the role of that, both commercial and residential, has been a bigger topic. And I wonder if your perspective, if you've observed that as well, and if so, you know, what's driving that?
Yeah, so electrification in general is obviously a huge push, governmental push, and I think it's more of a government push, and then it's, you know, they're trying to whip the contractors into shape to do what they want to with subsidies and kickbacks and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I think when we go to an HVAC conference, there are many, many talks about how heat pumps are the future, and we need to be putting them everywhere. I think it's kind of a slow transition into that, just because contractors in general are not quick to change. Although if you throw a bunch of money at them and incentives, that helps. But yeah, I think, you know, our platform enables some of these companies that are really trying to push that transition forward, especially in like the retail energy side or the utility side, to be able to go, you know, message to homeowners some of those offers better. So like imagine deploying an app to you know, roadside assistance for your air conditioning, which is one we're working on with a retail energy provider here in town, to be able to give the customer all the best ideas about how to take care of their system, how, and scheduling service right through the app and replacing your filters on time and doing a lot of different things. So when you have the eyeballs of the homeowner, for HVAC, then you can start to actively push those heat pumps or higher efficiency equipment or whatever you may be looking to push through an app relationship, push notifications, emails, things like that. So our platform can certainly be used to push that forward faster. But in general, I do think it's going to take some time before consumers are asking for heat pumps instead of asking for a more standard system.
I mean, and I feel like a lot of homeowners don't necessarily know all of the trends in HVAC systems or what new technology does what. But I wonder if you could share a little bit more about your customer acquisition process. Like, how are you, is it just word of mouth, or are you kind of actively identifying these companies that would be a good fit?
Yeah, so we have channel partners to channel partners. It's really what it is. So we've got a huge partnership launching next month with the biggest player in the space, software player that's taking us to their customer base. We've got a number of strategic investors that are some of the very biggest names in the space. Ken Goodrich with Gettle is one of those, and then a bunch of others as well. And so really, we're just trying to network to these bigger shops. We work with smaller companies too, but I mean, we have limited resources. If we have a team of 35 people, we want to be focused on relationships where they can really, buy a lot of product, right? And deploy a lot of product. And so, it looks like a sales cycle of having a first Zoom meeting, which has been really a blessing for us. People are used to doing that now, so we can be meeting with Zoom people all around the country. And then we ship them some product to test, and then we do a dashboard review where we look at all the data of their systems they've deployed, and then we talk about how our partners are using it to go grab more homes. So it's a four-week, 3 to 4 week sales process, but then we can get to six-figure orders pretty quickly. And so it's been B2B is not my thing. I really like selling to homeowners, and this is very different. But Andy, our COO here, is heading up sales and has a bunch of B2B experience, and so we have a great sales team here. So it looks more like SaaS sales, I would say, and of course there's a hardware component, but at the end of the day, it is a kind of a mostly a software platform that's just powered by the sensors that we create.
Well, this is all very enlightening, I guess. Like, thinking now with this Series B, looking forward and deploying that capital and growing more, what's kind of on that horizon for you? What's the future of smartac.com?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you, Natalie. But no, we have some things on our roadmap that are more in the energy space. What's interesting about air conditioning is not only is it the biggest capital expenditure that a lot of people have, it's also generally one of the biggest operating expenditures for heating and cooling, of course. And so perfecting the experience of home comfort for us is the way you change your filters, the way you fix the system when it breaks, the way you buy new equipment, right? And the way you power it. And so our roadmap kind of has some things to tackle all of those, and of course we're always testing those things and trying to find partnerships and trying to be a year or two ahead of testing what we're going to be offering in the future. But that's the high level, is that there are the biggest problems homeowners have with air conditioning is generally that huge lumpy expense of 15 grand, right? And so I think there are some interesting ways how our platform can offers to those customers that make it less lumpy, right? Air conditioning as a service and some other offerings that we do believe are the future of the space. So, and we have a lot of partners that are working on that, and we're trying to support them in those efforts. But as far as hardware goes, I think we're pretty much done, which is great. Everything else will just be kind of services or connecting the dots between different industries.
Yeah, you launched from stealth, and now you're innovating and growing in stealth a little bit too with those opportunities. Awesome. Well, this was very entertaining to hear the story of smartac.com. I think it's a cool, unique Houston company with Houston funding, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Natalie. Yeah, and we are hiring, so especially great dev and sales talent. We'd love to meet you here over here in the Heights. So thanks again for the time today, Natalie. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.
Bye.